7 Simplex, and lo and behold, I got a call back, Shropshire. So that was that's around about 60, 70 miles from work from this location, and I had a talk with him for quite a while, depending on where I stood or anything from, like, I don't know, and nothing to about a 5.9 plus. So yeah, wasn't too bad for 24.99 handheld anyway this side. I think I could do with another antenna. It seems to get it out okay, but it's a little bit down on the receive side. But anyway, give it a break on your name, and then I'll pass it over to you. G7SYY mobile.
G7SYY pedestrian mobile, 3HNL. The name here is Jim. I'm located down in Warminster, in the county of Wiltshire, between Bath and Salisbury. And yeah, it's a beautiful day here. Yeah, this one I paid £49 for. It's 25 watt, but it's about 21 watt. Don't think I'm on the high power. No, I'm not. I'm on probably about 10 watts. But we're using an analog gateway, which is about 18, 19 miles away from me, and it comes in quite strong. I think you told me your name, but I've forgotten it or whatever. But it's Jim this way, it's a plan of investigation for James. On this beautiful day, I'm going to take my dog out for a walk. And I can possibly get into this gateway if I go up the road a little bit. It comes in quite strong up there. Well, it's okay, really. I'd get it on my hand though, but yeah, so we might well do that. So it's a beautiful day, it's too good to stay in. I might well try to think if I can take a bowl or something, and a bottle of water for dog and myself. Because it is quite warm out there, it's saying about 16, but of course that's in the shade. So it's going to be, 1920 I think. They always say it's in the shade. But break on your name if possible there. G7SYY mobile from M3HNL.
M3HNL, G7SYY pedestrian mobile. Yeah, okay, Jim. The name's Steve. Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo. Steve. And like I say, I have been to that location. I used to drive down towards Laycock and places like that. Not for quite a while now, but there you go. But yeah, it's. It's working out okay. I'm just taking my dog back now. I didn't intend to come this far here this morning. I thought I'd come up here because I called up last week. I haven't been up for quite a while, and I thought I'll have a run up again because he's getting on a bit now. He's 12, his little terrier. But he was running all over the place last time I come up. But I think temperatures will wore it down a bit now. So I'm just getting to the car now, Jim. So I'm going to make it my final. I've just got a little bit to go then. I've got about another 6 miles to go, but I'm back in Chorley. It's not been a bad day whatsoever up here at the moment. It's the warmest morning I've been in for quite a while. But yeah, you're doing okay. You're coming over okay. There's virtually no noise. I'll say this looking this side into RP repeater, which is from this location, it's probably about 18 miles away, something like that, from where I am now. Just running 5 watts. Okay, Jim, I'll put it over to you for the finals, and then I'm going to make my way back to the car, get my dog back, and let him have a drink. Oh, so over to you for the finals, Jim. Pleasure to work with you again. G7SYY mobile.
Yeah, okay, yes,
Steve.
Yeah, nice audio from that handheld. Very nice indeed. Nice, clear, strong audio from it, working well. My old dog's about 9 years old now. She's a crossbreed and Shih Tzu in a spaniel. Runs around like a lunatic. She's a tiny little dog, but she can pull on a train. Very little legs on her, but I have to say she really does pull on a flipping train. Anyway, you have a good day. Enjoy the sunshine. And I'm going to go out for a walk with a dog myself now. Catch you later. Have a good day, Steve. All the best, Simply from M3HNL. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye, Jim. Enjoy your walk anyway. Because I imagine it's pretty much the same down where you are. All the best. Hope to catch you again sometime. G7SYY clear. Ta-da.
Bye. This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. How are you on this chilly Wednesday morning?
Well, good morning, Sir Red. KGPCB here. Well, so far, so good. Even though it's chilly out, we've got a nice sunrise coming up behind us here this morning. I think it's supposed to be a little bit warm enough for what I want to do with it. And this might be the nicer day compared to tomorrow. So far, so good. Not too bad at all. My plan is to install that vent solenoid today when I get home, as long as it's not raining. I did order it. I got a GM genuine part through Amazon at a very competitive price relative to the local part stores, and it's scheduled to arrive today. I also did crawl under and take a look to see where it was and how easy it was to access, and confirming that it was the right one, and it should be pretty easy. So we'll take care of that today when I get home. And yeah, if it's just like this but a little bit warmer, I will take it. And the week's going by fast. It's already Wednesday, so yeah, things are good. Anything new and exciting with you?
I agree. The week is going by fast. I had a meeting last night with the Engineering Society, and I realized it's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday, last night, and then today's Wednesday. Like, wow, days are just flying by. I was hoping that after I retired, days would go a little bit slower, but apparently not. I do too much. We're going to have the grandkids this morning through lunch, early afternoon. My daughter has a doctor's appointment, and then the kids have a dentist appointment. So instead of going all the way back to Orchard Park, because their dentist is here in Lancaster, and back here, they're just going to come and spend part of the day with us. So it'll be another busy day.
Okay, so your grandkids are in Orchard Park. For some reason, I had this impression in my mind that they were right here in town. Do you have other family that's close to you? Or did I have that completely wrong? Maybe it's the discussions of going to a local park or something that was throwing me off.
No, these are the only grandkids we have at the time. They live in Orchard Park. Previous to this, they lived in North Buffalo. Sometimes they do come stay with us, and I do take them to Como Lake Park, or Como Park, I guess. I can't remember what the real name of it is. They've lived in Orchard Park almost 2 years now.
Okay. Hey, it must be the way I was building the scenario in my head is that they were nearby. You guys would pop over right around the corner. For some reason, that's what I had. But, okay, that's cool. That's cool. In fact, I think Ross mentioned something about Orchard Park a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I don't know. Is that right? I'm just not sure. Okay, we'll have to confirm that. But you mentioned it. The thought came back again, so it was confirmed. Yeah, very cool. Let's see what else is happening. I was thinking about my troubles when I was on the air the other day and not having the headset on. I do have a communication headset that has one earpiece. It goes over your head with the head strap, but it's only a single side with a boom mic. And I use it once in a while, and it actually works pretty good, except that the RJ45 connector on the end, sometimes you have to, hold it to the side to get it to work right. And I've even used it like that, and then I just pull the cord to the side, and it continues to work. But I'm going to have to dig that out at some point here and put a new connector on the end. It's not the first time I put a connector on the end, so it makes me wonder if the wire's broken further up the mic cord. Really didn't want to have to replace the whole mic cord, but I'm going to have to pull that out I do have the... Yeah, I do have the tool and the connectors to the sleeve onto there and crimp it in place. Yeah, I'm going to have to dig that out one of these days. Maybe we'll have out in the garage tonight working on this truck project. I'll have to pull that out in my during my lunches or something, put a new end on there and see if that fixes it.
Yeah. There's always something to work on, isn't there? I was working on my 70-centimeter Yagi antenna last night, getting all the tubing cut into the right size and then grinding down some things to make things work. And then I realized one of the connectors I bought is threaded on the inside and not just a slip fit. So I've got to go back and get a new connector. And then I should be able to put everything together and get it tested. So hopefully by the end of the week I can have that completed.
Yeah, we're coming into that time of the year where, you know, it's getting nicer. We're switching over to, you know, outdoor projects, and we have these long lists, at least I do. We're going to want to go kayaking here soon, and I have yet to mount the rudder on the kayak. I bought it during the winter and fall or winter, somewhere in there. And I want to get out there and install that before we get to a day where it's like, hey, we should go out. And what else was I going to say? Oh yeah, and it's also interesting, you know, as we're working on our projects and we're doing our research, or, you know, just learning about things by watching YouTube videos or looking at specs, how people in the same household will start getting ads for the things that you're looking at. Like Lynn gets ads for antennas. In fact, she was showing me one last night. We were sitting on the couch, and she's like, oh, look at this guy. He's got this cool antenna. He's got it set up on the beach. Oh, this is perfect. You could do this. Lynn, that's the antenna that I just bought. That's the one out in the garage. We had it over in the park the other day. Oh, that's cool. Well, he did it in the sand. Sure, I'm all for it. And then it's cool. If she's willing to go out to the beach and I can put up an antenna and she can go look for beach glass, yeah, that's perfect. This is K2PCB. I'll turn it back to you, Brad, and maybe see if anyone else is in there.
Yeah, that list, either whether mental or actually written down, seems to get longer and longer and more involved in different activities. So this is KE2GDQ, and let's see if there is anybody else out there.
All right, nothing heard. Well, going back to your UHF antenna, were you going to put that on that same handheld mast, or were you going to build a second antenna?
I'm building a second antenna. I had thought of mounting it to it, but I'm not sure how that would work. Having to hook up both of them to different radios, I think. That's what I'm thinking.
I guess with the HT that you have dual VFOs, right? So you could have one programmed on 2 meter, one programmed on 440. So you could do the same. I guess. I'd be curious how they do it, because I've seen people with those antennas. I'd be curious to see how they're wired. Do they just wire in the two driven elements together? I'm curious now.
Yeah, I'm really curious, too. Do they just wire the center conductors and the shields and then put it into one connector? My handheld does have two VFOs, so I could. It's easy enough to switch back and forth, so I just got to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of prioritizing the items that are on this list we talk about. And, doing some research. just like Lynn and I have been talking about going on a vacation. We have this feeling that we haven't done anything in a while. I know I was telling some people at work yesterday, no substantial vacations. You know, we take short trips, long weekends. Nothing really, you know, too earth-shattering. And, you know, we've been talking about very recently Nova Scotia, that we'd like to go to Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'd love to go to St. John. Of course, that's almost a separate trip in and of itself, but if you're already that far. Or Mackinac Island. And there's some huge, huge trade-offs in activities and travel. And I could easily drive to Mackinac Island, at least to the ferry, in just over 7 hours. Halifax, I think, would be in the teens. So that's the difference there. I'd probably want to fly there. But at the same time, we don't want to spend the money, which keeps coming back to that. So, yeah, but we'd like to do something, and those are kind of high on our list right now.
Ooh, Nova Scotia, that would be, that'd be a nice little trip. I've never been there. I mean, I've been to Canada, but, you know, Ontario and Toronto, I mean, that's really it. Yeah, that would be Nova Scotia. Mackinac Island, I've heard the name, but I can't picture it geographically. And then Karen and I took our big trip last year. I don't know, we may end up taking another trip to Austin before too long, just to see Trav and Maddie again, and to visit, you know, why not? Because we can, because we're retired.
Yeah, see, now that trip, that makes an easy decision because you're visiting family. I actually wouldn't mind doing that drive. That would be kind of fun. I know Bill, my boss, when he goes on his vacations, he drives quite a bit. And when they go to Ohio, they always drive. He goes to Florida, and he often drives. You know, he'll go down and, at least as of late, you know, he visited his daughter in Tennessee and then cruised down. Yeah, long ride. You definitely have to stop somewhere along the way, but, yeah, 7 hours is not bad. I don't know, we keep talking about it. Every time we talk about it, we shoot ourselves down and say, we don't want to spend the money right now, but, you know, we're getting older. And things aren't getting any cheaper. We should just go do it.
Yeah, they say the things you regret are the things you didn't do. You usually don't regret spending the money on a trip like that. I know our trip was fairly expensive, but I don't regret spending the money because of the memories that we got from it. It was an awesome trip. So yeah, the things that you usually don't do are the things that you regret.
Yeah, so maybe I just need to just keep the conversation going, talk about it every day for dinner, and you know, heck, I could even order travel brochures if that is still a thing. Even though I think everything's just online now, but yeah, just keep the conversation going. Yeah. If my truck wasn't telling me that it's 23 degrees right now, just looking out and about here, it looks like a nice, really nice, beautiful morning. A little bit of overcast, but I can see a nice clear view to the moon here. At least at the moment right now, it's pretty nice. I'm thinking about the moon. Excuse me. I had seen online some 3D rendering of the path of the Artemis 2. And, yeah, it was kind of interesting to show that it's not really, I don't want to say a straight line, because it definitely wouldn't be, but how loopy the path is. I didn't know how true that was. but it definitely traveling quite a distance to where it's gone.
Yeah, Karen's been following the Artemis flight pretty good, which is interesting. And I haven't. I mean, I do hear it when I listen to it on the news a little bit. I can't remember if PCB had any sensors on that rocket. I can't remember if that's where the Endeavco Pogo sensor was going that I was working on before I left. Might have been, because I think they use liquid fuel in those, so that might have been the sensor that was on there, hopefully.
You know, I haven't heard anybody at work talk about it. I would think if we did, then, you know, we'd be really raving about it, or we'd wait till they landed successfully and then talk about it, but I haven't heard a thing at all.
It might have been, maybe it was a different rocket. Maybe it was for a Saturn rocket. I can't remember now which rocket engine that it was going on. But it was a really cool sensor. You know, the way it was built was kind of hokey, but it worked. I would have liked to have seen it through till it was launched in production. But, hey, you know, I've been enjoying my retirement. It's been really good, so I can't complain. Can't regret, right?
Yeah, definitely when it comes to that, you know, the work-related things, yeah, I wouldn't stress over it. You know, I sometimes say to myself, you know, I wish I would have started here directly out of high school, taking a bench tech job, and then going to school and, you know, building my career here. But there are things that I had done which sometimes feel like a waste, but were very interesting educational experiences in between. So there were, let's see, 7 years of other activities. Yeah, that's what it was. And, yeah, some were rewarding, some were grueling. But I guess it's what made me today. It's what it is. All right, I've got 6:45, so I'm going to make a run for it. Doesn't look like anyone else is coming to work today. I guess it's just us. All right, KC2PCB, I am Clint.
73, KC2PCB. This is KE2GDQ, and we're monitoring.
KB2GDQ, KC2PET.
KC2PET, this is KE2GDQ. Over.
Morning, Brad. How you doing this fine, chilly morning? I didn't get on the air right away because I had to get gas today. The light was on. That's how low I've been letting it get. And I got to the pumps, and I see my biggest fear. $4.19 a gallon.
Yeah, when Karen and I were coming back from our daughter's house last night, and my tank's about half, and I try not to let it get too much below a half, and I did notice there was a couple of gas stations on the way back, $4.19 a gallon. I can't remember the last time it was $4 something a gallon. Yeah, I bet that was a pretty penny to fill your truck.
Well, I've been putting it off, like I said, the light was on, so I'm like, well, I gotta get gas. So then when I definitely got to the pump, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna put $20 in, and that got me almost up to half a tank, so that's all you're getting is $20. Hopefully the price goes down soon. I guess it's supposed to, but we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully it will go down once supposedly there is a ceasefire between Iran and Israel and the United States, which could open up the Strait of Hormuz and get fuel flowing through there, or at least crude. But I did see where China and Russia vetoed some sort of resolution to open it up, which I guess, yeah, So we'll see what happens in the next day or two.
Well, I keep hearing that we have enough crude in the United States that we don't need them, but apparently it seems like that we do. I know it's politics, and they play their little games, but yeah. I'm definitely not. I'm definitely gonna get a horse, or maybe I might even get a mini bike. Well, those little mini bikes, and ride that to work.
There you go. Yeah, one of those. Little, there was a guy that used to do that. He used to work in the welding department. He was riding a mini bike back and forth. From what I've heard, yes, the United States has a lot of crude, but it's what they call sweet crude, and the crude that they use in the refineries is heavy crude, and the refinery process is different for both kinds. And so I don't think it's easy to switch over from heavy to sweet. At least that's what I'm hearing, and that's why the prices have gone through the roof, because they can't produce enough, or can't get enough crude to produce it. That's my understanding. I heard that from a mechanic friend of mine, and he seems to be up on that sort of thing, so I tend to believe him, but I guess I should do my research, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, it makes sense. Every once in a while, when topics like this come up, I'm like, man, how much longer are we be able to drive cars? I mean, there's so many of them on the road. I mean, it's like, either, I don't know what you'll give up. First, we'll run out of crude, and then we'll be able to drive it, and we'll have paperweights, or pollution. We'll get I don't know which will come first. Probably pollution. I think there's a lot of crude still left in the ground.
Yeah, I remember in the 70s, there was a neighbor, and he was, you know, an older gentleman. He was the father of, I don't know, it's like six or eight kids, and the kids that I hung around with were the youngest, so he had some really older kids anyways. He was talking, oh, yeah, we're going to be running out of crude in a few years. And that was in 1970, 72. So it was like 45, almost 50 years ago, and we're still getting crude. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the crude is there. You're right. We need to find a better way to burn it so that it does not pollute like it does.
Yeah, I don't know how much, like I said, how much more efficient you get a car. Cars have come a long way from what they used to be. I mean, they're very efficient now, but it's still not good enough. We do need something that's zero emissions, which is impossible. You gotta burn something to, make the car move. I don't think we'll ever get down to zero emissions, but who knows? Maybe one day. Of course, that'll never happen either. Even if we did, there'll be some oil company that'll buy that up, and oh no, we can't have like a zero emission or a less burning zero emissions on car. No, they can't have that. That saves too much money.
I know that Ford had jumped heavy into electric vehicles and then has since backed out because the market's not there. From an engineering standpoint, electric vehicles are much more efficient than a gasoline engine. They just are, because there's less parasitics. There's just so many parasitics in an internal combustion engine that there's just really no way to get rid of those parasitics. And you're right, you've got to burn something to create the fuel or to create the electricity to charge everything. So where does it end? And there's no such thing as perpetual motion. I guess the closest thing would be fusion, but I think that's, to make that viable, I think we're still 50 years down the road, to make that happen. So, if they can get fusion, then everything changes.
Oh, come on. There's no such thing as perpetual motion. I see it on YouTube all the time. They show some guy with an alternator and an electric motor with a belt, and they're just wired together. The guy spins it, which it may work for a little bit, but don't know why people even put those videos out anywhere. I don't get it. That, and I've seen the spring one where they took a crank from an old engine. They took the crank out and put real good bearings on it, and they put the evenly spaced out the springs. I guess there's some type of spot they actually have to be, so they don't they're not out of sync. And you see them, they get the spring, they spin it, and then run for, like you show it, look, it's been running for 3-4 days now. Like, I find that very hard to believe that that's possible.
You are correct, Ross. There's actually a guy that I've been following on YouTube. He's an engineer, go figure, and he showed some of the tricks that you can do with editing to make that look like it's working. They do it just to get the clicks, because people want to believe that, by putting in a new electric panel in your house, circuit breaker panel, that it's going to save you up to 30% on your electric bill. It just isn't going to happen, there's gravity, so there's always bearings, there's always air resistance. So even if you could do it in a vacuum, but you got to maintain the vacuum. So, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, well, Brad, it's my turn to go in. I'll say 73-2, and I will talk to you Monday. Tomorrow's my early, so I won't be on the air with you. And then I have to be off for Friday for my daughter. She is off school this whole week, so... my wife's been home with her, but it's my turn to be with her on Friday. My wife has to go to work. And I won't be on air until Monday. So KT2GDQ, KT2PET. 73's Brad. You have a good day, good weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
73's to you, Ross, and that's a good reason to take Friday off is to spend time with your daughter. Enjoy the long weekend. And I will talk to you on Monday. This is KE2GDQ, and we're clear of the channel.